Yankees have left 10 men on base, including the bases loaded in the seventh, and two runners in both the fifth and the sixth. In right field, Tarasco going back to the track, to the wall.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Homers, a podcast where my dad and I will be discussing our favorite sports teams, and we'll really only focus on the sports that we're interested in, we care about the most.
Yes. So, like, no, for the most part, no hockey.
Mm-mm.
For the most part, just New York teams.
Mm-hmm.
And very specific Olympic events.
So if you are a New York sports fan, specifically a Yankees fan, Giants fan, Knicks fan, or just a sports fan in general, we think you'll get a kick out of this podcast.
We're doing this on, it's March 17th, mm-hmm. 2020. Of course, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're in the teeth of the, not a, quite of a lockdown, but everyone's asked to stay at home with this this coronavirus.
All the sports leagues are shut down. So for that reason, we thought we'd kind of, for our first few episodes, focus on old sports moments, sports history. And we want to have a central theme throughout the different episodes of this sports history. So we'll be discussing turning points, moments in sports that change the situation of our favorite teams for better or for worse. And for today's episode, we'll be talking about the 1996 New York Yankees and the Jeffrey Mayer home run.
The Jeffrey Mayer home run.
Yes.
Now, do you think when he was, so he lived in Old Tappan, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
Big baseball fan, big Yankees fan, 12 years old, 1996. Mm-hmm. So do you think this kid had any idea when he was on his way to the game, probably drove across the bridge with his mm-hmm. pop, do you think he had any idea that he was going to affect the future of the Yankees' fortunes the way he did?
I don't think so. As a teenager myself, I don't think you could ever have that kind of thought. I mean, especially a sporting event and you, the fan, affecting it, being the single fan that affects it so much.
Yeah, but they were sitting in right field,
yeah,
which is the short porch, right? Mm-hmm. So he knew he was gonna, there's a chance of catching a home run. Mm-hmm. So he had his glove that day.
Yes.
He had his glove, right? Mm-hmm. So he knew the kid was smart. He knew where he was sitting. And it's not like, you know, it was almost, you know, he prepared himself. And what do I always say about preparation, Nicholas?
If you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail.
Correct. And so obviously Jeffrey Mayer
came prepared. So just some quick history about the 96 Yankees. The Yankees hadn't been to the World Series since 81. They hadn't
won. Yeah, then
won.
When they lost to the Dodgers.
Yes, 4-2.
And they were heavily favored in the 81 series. Anyways.
And they hadn't won since 1978, when they also beat the Dodgers. So it was this period of Yankees fandom, a very
we call it the desert.
Yes.
It was an awful time. I grew up during that time, 80s, early 90s, and the Yankees. I mean, it's not like they were like Mets bad, but they were, you know, like, I remember they had lineups where, you know, Jack Clark and Ricky Henderson, they would score all sorts of runs, but then their ace on the mound was Rick Rodin. You know, not exactly a recipe for success.
Well, to that point, the Yankees had just made the postseason for the first time since 1981, the year before, where Jack McDowell was their ace.
Black Jack,
who is most famous,
of course,
for giving the finger to the fans after getting shellacked.
Yeah, Black Jack came from the White Sox. He was tough. I always liked his spirit, but he had a couple of screws loose.
Yeah, and in the 1995 ALDS, the Yankees took a famous 2-0 lead before they blew it in the 5-game series, and Jack McDowell came in to relieve.
Yeah, I guess it was against Seattle.
Yes, and he gave up the double, which is the Edgar Martinez double that drove in the winning run and sent the Seattle Mariners to the ALCS, and the Yankees were sent home.
Yeah, but I believe the Mariners lost.
Oh, the Mariners lost to the Indians, but it's still right. One of the big moments for the
Mariners. And then,
Mariners.
Of course, the Indians lost.
And then the Indians lost, right. Yeah.
To the Braves.
Yes.
Right.
That was the only
Braves World Series in that epic, they're not epic, but that wonderful team they had mm-hmm. in the 90s there. Anyways.
But just continuing, that was also the last year for Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
So he retired after the season.
He hurt his back. Mm-hmm. They said he hurt his back in some sort of, I'm not sure if it was horseplay in the locker room or something in the locker room. He hurt his back and he was never the same after that.
Well, then continuing into the 96 season, they get rid of Jack McDowell because their new ace is, of course, Andy Pettit. He became the ace of the Yankees.
Pettit was the ace that year?
Yeah, he was the ace that year. And the Yankees kind of embraced this new core, led most famously by AL Rookie of the Year that year, Derek Jeter.
Right.
And they end up winning their first division title since 1981.
Right. But it kind of came out of nowhere. I mean,
a little bit.
No one was really, they had a good squad, but a lot of pieces had to fall together for that team.
Yeah.
Succeed. So let's cut to the chase. So
all right.
We're in the ALCS.
So the Yankees have just gotten past the Rangers and the Orioles.
Right. But just a tiny little history here, folks. You have to understand, Baltimore traditionally, which might be a surprise to everyone these days, but Baltimore traditionally was a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Nine was always one of the top-notch squads in Major League Baseball. You know, they had won the last World Series they had won was in 83 with Ripken. But they were always right there, and they were always tough against the Yankees. Always tough. Always great players, great pitching. So, I mean, this was not a this series was not a gimme to the Yankees.
This was going to be a tough series. And speaking on that point about how tough of a team they were, they had just beaten in the ALDS the best American League team and the defending AL champions, the Cleveland Indians. So they knocked them out. The Orioles were the wild card team, and they knocked out the Indians to advance to face the Yankees in the ALCS.
Right.
So we're in the Bronx
for game one. Tight game.
Mm-hmm.
Who started for the Yanks?
Andy Pettit.
Yeah. So the ace. And on the who started for Baltimore?
Erickson.
Oh, yeah, Erickson. I remember him. Yeah, he was tough for a couple years.
Both pitchers went very far. Erickson got through six, was taken out in the seventh. Pettit got through seven, was taken out in the eighth.
It's so funny these days. Six and seven, that seems like it's almost like a complete game these days. So did Benitez, did he spell Erickson right off? Or who was the bridge between Erickson?
Jesse Orozco,
who, of course, we all remember from the 86 Mets. Lethal left-hander who actually was on the mound when the Mets won the World Series, I believe. He was on the mound.
Yes. And so Orozco comes in, doesn't do very well, and then Benitez comes in, and at that point, the Orioles have a 4-2 lead. Benitez walks Daryl Strawberry.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but and then, of course, Benitez is going to be... After this year, he's going to be with the Mets in a couple of seasons.
Yes, for the 2000 World Series.
As their closer, the 2000 World Series against the Yankees.
And he's also very infamous in New York because he was the pitcher that plunked Tino Martinez to start that fantastic 1998 Yankees-Orioles brawl, which is most famous for the brawl falls into the dugout and Daryl Strawberry lands a couple good punches.
I miss those teams. Anyways, so set the scene for us. What's the score?
So it's 4-3 Orioles. The Yankees just scored a run the previous inning on the walk to Daryl Strawberry.
Bottom of the eighth, 4-3 Orioles.
Yes.
Okay.
And they had the bases loaded, but they weren't able to, except for the walk to Strawberry, they weren't able to muster any of the runs.
Right.
So bottom of the eighth, 4-3. Derek Jeter steps into the batter's box.
Right.
He was at that point 2-for-3. Right. And the first pitch takes it to right field.
For a single, it's on first base.
No. Derek Jeter.
Oh, it's what was the count?
0-0. It was the first pitch.
So the first pitch, he's gonna groove a fastball on me, and so he goes oppo,
and you can even listen to the call. Bob Costas and Joe Morgan are doing the game,
right?
And you can listen to them because they don't think it's out. Like the ball's drifting, it's carrying, but
listen to Costas's call here.
Last time up, he stranded two. The Yankees have left 10 men on base, including the bases loaded in the seventh, and two runners in both the fifth and the sixth. In right field, Tarasco going back to the track, to the wall. And what happens here? He contends that a fan reaches up and touches it. But Richie Garcia says no, it's a home run.
No, it's kind of amazing how obvious today when we watch it, that is not a home run.
I mean, it was. I think it was obvious then because Costas, he doesn't even say, oh, it's a home run. I think the exact words he says are, and what happens here when Mayer lifts his glove over the wall where Tony Tarasco is standing, drifting back, and Mayer reaches over all the, like, a couple feet over the wall, pulls the ball into the stands, and it's ruled a home run, and Tarasco gets right in the face.
Yeah, but Richie Garcia, who was the umpire, and he was a good umpire too, he'd actually run out, he was the first base ump, he had run out to right field to make the call properly, and, you know, we're talking about an umpire who's only 20 feet away from the play, and you find it hard to imagine, but he got it wrong. He got it wrong. The ball, that ball would have landed softly into the awaiting mitt of Tony Tarasco, and it would have been a nice can of corn. Instead, some 12-year-old punk from Old Tappan, New Jersey, decides to insinuate himself into the game, and he changed the course of history.
Yep.
Now, that only tied the game, so now it's 4-4.
And in the aftermath, you have Tarasco is in the face.
Tarasco, right off the bat, Tarasco is like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God. And of course, he's so he could probably have smelled Garcia's breath. He was so close to him. He was right in his face.
Yeah, I was watching the video. And then Benitez runs from the mound. He's out there. And he's actually bumping Garcia. Yeah. And I see Garcia use an epithet. And he's like, get the F away from me. He was surrounded by like four or five different Orioles.
And Jeter, you can actually see as Jeter rounds the bases, you wouldn't think it didn't even seem like he thought it was a home run. He sprinted around first. He was sprinting around second, and then kind of sort of started to jog. He almost walks to home and is shaking his head. It's very interesting to see because it's like even for him, he didn't even think it was a home run. But that ties the game 4-4, and
then they went on to win the game.
Yes.
What was the final score?
Final score was 5-4 because Bernie Williams in the bottom of the 11th hits a leadoff home run to
win the game. But then Baltimore won this one game too.
Yes, on a big Rafael Palmeiro two-run shot in the 7th inning.
Oh, Mr. PED himself, Rafi Palmeiro. You don't hear much about him anymore.
Yeah.
Great player though, great swing. For $5, what college did he go to?
Oh, I have no idea.
I believe he went to Mississippi State.
Really?
I believe so.
Well.
Yeah, tough series, but the Yanks lose game two. Was it best of five back then?
No, this was the ALCS, so it was the best of seven.
It was best of seven. And then the Yankees go down to Baltimore and take three and go on to the World Series.
Yes.
Of course, they get their clocks cleaned in the first two games against Atlanta, but then win four straight to win that. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is, just some factoids, on these teams, certain players on these teams, starting lineup for the Yankees that night, you had Tim Raines leading off for the Yankees. Tim Rock Raines, Hall of Famer. We'll talk about this at some other point, but the Yankees had wonderful success trading with and signing players from the Montreal Expos at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Many players who were integral in the Yankees' success for the next few years came from the Expos, one way or the other. Batting number two was Wade Boggs, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. Now, when I was a kid, the idea of seeing a freaking Wade Boggs in a Yankee uniform was just unfathomable. It was just like, what? It was crazy. But he was always so strange. He used to eat chicken before each game for whatever reason. And then, of course, he did the whole Bosley Hair Club for Men thing or whatever it was called. And then you had ex-Detroit Tiger Cecil Fielder was DH that night. Who else was playing for the Yankees?
Wetland. Wasn't he actually still the closer at that point?
Yeah, Wetland was the closer, and Rivera was the setup person.
It's funny because Rivera actually came in the 10th inning after. Rivera was the setup man, but he came in and pitched the 10th and the 11th inning before Bernie.
Yeah, and then the Orioles, you had some interesting characters. You still had Eddie Murray. Eddie Murray, the Hall of Famer, the irascible Eddie Murray was DHing for Baltimore that night.
Mussina.
Yeah, Mike Mussina went on to have eight wonderful seasons with the Yankees.
Bobby Bonilla, right?
That's right. Bobby Bonilla was playing for Baltimore at that time. I guess that was before he went. No,
that was after the Mets.
After the Mets. So he's
that awful contract.
Just remember, he's got the uniform of Baltimore on, but yet he's getting a paycheck from the Wilpons at the same time, which is kind of cool. But this is where it all started. 96. It was really exciting. It came out of nowhere. No one really expected the Yankees to get to the World Series. And certainly no one expected them to beat the Atlanta Braves, which they didn't in the first two games. I was at game one and two, and it was just no contest. It was like men versus boys. But as the story goes, Joe Torre got a call from George Steinbrenner, and George was a little upset about what was going on. And Torre, whether he believed himself or not, said to George, he goes, George, we're going to go down to Atlanta. We're going to beat them three games in a row in Atlanta, and then we're going to come home and win the World Series in the Bronx. That's the story Joe Torre tells. I think it's a great story. I'm not sure if, as I said, I'm not sure if Joe believed in himself or not, but that's just a great story. And that's where it all started. So 96, they win the World Series. 97, they get to the ALCS against Indians and lose. Mm-hmm. In 98, of course, that's the magical year of 114 regular season, 125 wins, and they
sweep
in the World Series against the Padres.
Yes. 99, they sweep the Braves. 2000.
2000, they beat the Mets. Mm-hmm. 2001, that was a tough season. They get beat by Arizona. 02, they don't go to the World Series.
They get beat in the Division Series.
Yeah, 03, they get beat
by the
Marlins.
03, they get beat by the Marlins.
And that's pretty much it. So it stops there. The real dynasty stops there in 03. And then, of course, in 09, they win. They have Mr. PED himself.
A-Rod.
A-Rod. Yeah. So that's where it starts. And Jeffrey Mayer certainly has a hand in that, no pun intended.
Yes.
He's a grown man now, probably has a family.
Three kids.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he does does events and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And makes a living off of being Jeffrey Mayer.
He was a scout for the Cape Cod Baseball League for a year or two.
Oh, for what team?
Just for the Cape League in general. Not for a specific team. He was just like scouting college talent.
He was a roving scout.
But yeah.
Roved. So, episode one of the books. I give it a C+. If there's anyone listening to this, I give you a lot of credit because there's so many podcasts out there. And this is probably one where you've probably heard all this information before and in a much more entertaining fashion. So but thanks for listening if you have to that one listener out there. Thank you.
We're going to keep getting better at this, and we're going to keep this series going, talking about sports and turning points, and we'll see you all next time.